Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Best Hang Podcast featuring Max Kerman, Shane Cunningham, and I am Mike Veerman. Welcome to the Best Hang Podcast. I'm Mike, we got Max, we got Shane, and all of us are together in one room. It has been a journey. Max has been on the road with his band Arkells. Their tour is now wrapped. Shane has been on vacation with the fam,
globetrotting.
Two different states, Florida, New York State. You've been all over, and now you're back. Now we're all together in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Where do we begin? Matt Perry?
Let's start with Matt Perry.
I just finished his book. The day I finished his book, the next morning. Okay, wait. I finished his book, went to bed. Next morning, dead.
That's such a Shane coincidence, by the way. You like to think that you have this like mysterious sort of witch-like connection with the world.
You talking
with this kind of thing all the time.
Oh, do I? Witch-like?
Yeah, I think you do.
I've used the word witch-like connection with the world. Yeah. I won't hold the tape up. I want to hear that.
Maybe that's the wrong way to phrase it. But this is a very Shane-like thing to happen. It's like you when you say like me and Nathan Fielder have the same birthday.
And Bruce McCullough.
Bruce McCullough. Like that is a very Shane thing. So you finishing the book and then Matthew Perry.
Well, the book now is so weird. I had to go reread the very first page. Because it's, he says, like, if you're reading this now, I should be dead.
Whoa.
And then it's very strange reading that after he had passed. And then at the end of the book, he starts talking about now he shouldn't be alive, but he has this new lease on life. He wants to be a father.
What prompted you to read his book in the first place?
I was given this book to read during my hernia surgery. Mm. Keep in mind, this is pre-Ritalin. I can't read. So during my whole four-day hospital stay, I only read 20 pages.
Right.
So then I had to get back to, I was bringing it on the train, but then I was reading a lot of scripts on the train. Jillian Smart wrote this amazing script called Moonwalker. So I was reading that, other scripts, read another book. And then I was like, oh, I have to get back to the Matt Perry book. So then I was using that as my home nighttime reading book.
Mm.
But yeah, very weird coincidence.
So my impression, and I want to ask you,
you're going to do a Chandler impression?
No.
Could you be any better? No, I don't know.
That was good, Mike.
Of Matthew Perry post Friends is probably incorrect, especially, and you know, because you read the book.
Yeah.
Because the impression that I think probably a lot of people have of Matthew Perry is like hugely successful actor, kind of charming and cute, but then kind of wasted the rest of his life in self-loathing and drugs. And sort of, there's a lot of anecdotes about him being unlikable. Like there's like a Louis story about I sent that to you.
Oh, yeah.
You said that about him like not wanting to tip the bartender
or
something
like that. He's a rich kid though, right? Didn't he grow up with Trudeau? Didn't they go to the best schools in Canada? And they're all part of this elite sort of like circle of, you know, it.
His mom worked very closely with Pierre.
So she like,
and supposedly it seemed like they were having intercourse.
Really? Did he allude to that?
He did.
Interesting.
My grade seven French teacher, I think also I may have had relations with.
With Pierre? Matthew Pierre?
No, with Pierre Trudeau. Wow.
Yeah, Pierre got with everybody.
Yeah.
Well, his young wife, like Justin's mom, mm-hmm. used to hang out with the Rolling Stones and stuff.
Yeah.
Like she was like a young, I think, was she a model? I'm not sure. Margaret. But I'm not, I don't know the whole history. But getting back to Matthew Perry, I did not read the book like you. Does he go into his childhood? Did he grow up with money? Or is it just his mom worked for government so he had access to
well,
these
his
things?
Dad was the Old Spice guy. So his dad was
what?
Not the black Old Spice.
Like, the look sorry. I just gave you was I was like, how am I going to make this
sorry,
joke?
Guys.
But I couldn't figure
the original Old Spice guy before it was like Terry Crews and that handsome black man and yeah. like the original old school Old Spice commercials in like the 70s or 80s. So his dad was his dad was a singer in a band that you would know. They had one hit wonder.
Okay.
He hopped on a band late that had a bunch of revolving members. Then he decided to be an actor. Huh. This is Matthew Perry's father.
Okay.
His mom was a beauty queen.
Mm.
His dad was this
so
handsome
very privileged.
Guy. Yeah, they split up, but Perry had a lot of trauma because as a child, he was always an unaccompanied minor on a plane and he's going to and fro. He's going from Canada to LA. And that really traumatized him being alone all the time like that.
Interesting.
And having young parents and his mom was partying a lot because she was like, you know, in her early 20s when she had him. So he was kind of an abandoned child, it felt like.
Huh.
And his mom ended up marrying, who's that very famous guy on, he's Canadian and he's got such an iconic voice. Keith Morrison. If you guys don't know who Keith Morrison is?
No.
Yeah, if you heard his voice, you'd know him. What's the big show he does?
Come on, baby, light my fire.
Yeah, that's he does Jim all those Dateline. Yeah, Bill Hader does the great imitation of him.
Oh, there's like that famous that clip where Bill Hader goes to Dateline and he meets this guy, does the voiceovers.
Exactly. So his mom started a new family with Keith Morrison. So, you know, Matt has always felt like he's had nobody really.
Because his dad was in LA.
So that's his like trauma.
Isn't that such a crazy thing about childhood trauma and how it can react in different ways for different people?
Yeah.
It's just so crazy.
Learned like something about Matthew Perry, though. That's interesting. That's insightful.
Because like, you know, when you say, okay, he died in a hot tub, like this is the most like stereotypical like self-loathing Hollywood
death,
thing where you're like, okay, you're going to die. And then it's also funny too, because it's like, you know, there's other people who've had in my mind much more like traumatic upbringings.
Yes.
But trauma can hit you in different ways. Like we have friends that are probably much more well-adjusted and happy that went through way, way, way more in their childhood and probably seen terrible things or had parents that weren't around, et cetera, et cetera. And then Matthew Perry, you know, credits, you know, going on planes and feeling alone and that sort of sense of abandonment. I'm not, by the way, not discrediting. I'm 100%. It is clearly a real feeling.
There's also this thing too, because Matthew Perry is an addict. He talks a lot about that journey. But like the thing is, like he made countless, I'm sure you could count them, millions and millions of dollars in his career. And it's almost in some ways, it's like you don't have any accountability. Like you're left to your own devices. Like all you have is time to basically indulge your worst sort of impulses. And you have the means to do it. Like a lot of people that maybe have like demons and stuff, like they still have to get up and go to a job. They have to make sure they pay their rent. They have to get food. Like in order to survive in this world, there's a certain amount of sort of like life that you just have to partake in. I think because he made all his money by the time he was in his mid 20s, you know what I mean? Or whatever that was, by the end of Friends, they were making $1 million an episode. I think they did what, 28 a season. It's like,
yeah.
So making $28 million a year. His film career doesn't really work out for him. He had a couple, like what, the whole 10 yards is
the whole 9 yards. The whole 10 yards is one of the worst movies ever made.
So that's like his most successful movie.
Amanda Peet in that movie?
Yeah, it's really a Bruce Willis movie. Or, you know what I mean? But like, well, no, it's a Matthew Perry movie, but Bruce Willis sort of steals the movie, if I'm recalling. But he had a bunch of movies that didn't work out. He tried a few kind of sitcoms. He was on the SNL show that Aaron Sorkin did that came out at the same time as 30
Sunset
Rock.
Sunset Strip.
You got it.
Oh, yeah.
Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
The Simmons liked the first episode.
Well, the pilot was huge. Yeah. Everyone watched the pilot.
We all watched that. And it was really, and it's Sorkin, you know, and it's like, but that was, I think, his swing at like, oh, I'm going to be in this sort of prestige drama on network TV. And then that got canceled after the first season. And yeah, there wasn't much to do after that other than sort
of. Is that show good?
I enjoyed season one, but I don't know if it's aged well. A lot of people like there's been sort of this pastime on Twitter to like clip. This happens with a lot of Sorkin stuff now, whereas like the Newsroom or Sunset Strip, there'll be like a character that has some like self-righteous monologue, like about serving in war, but it's done in a weird place. And it's like, no one would actually have that conversation.
Yeah.
And it's like said in this way, like there's the famous one from the Newsroom now where like they killed Bin Laden and there's like the speech gets made on the plane where everyone's like, it's like, because they're news people, they're like, I need to report. And then someone's like, sir, you need to calm down. Like the flight attendant. And then it's like, I just want to thank you for your service. But he's thanking the flight attendant for the service. It's a very weird situation. And then he announces that they got bin Laden on the plane and everybody
it's so stupid.
Applauds.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So anyway, but I, in the mid 2000s, you know, we were hanging out a lot at West.
I love that
at
show.
Beer Mansion. Yeah. And we would watch it like
the Newsroom.
Yeah. No.
Studio 60 on the Sunset.
Yeah. Right. Studio 60. We had the one season, but I also watch Newsroom. I think there's elements of both those shows that are awesome, but I also see that the internet makes fun of them quite a bit as well.
The problem for a lot of people was Sorkin, when he did the West Wing, the stakes were about like the world. The world was at stake. A nuclear threat, they'd have an episode about. Yeah. So he kind of applied that type of tension and pressure to comedy. And people like Mike and I can appreciate that. But my mom doesn't understand. Like, who cares? It's just a joke at Saturday Night Live. Why do they take this so seriously? But the show, it was like life and death every week producing Saturday Night Live. So that's why Matthew Perry says the show failed.
Mm. It's kind of like pretentious Larry Sanders show.
He didn't like Sorkin.
Oh, you didn't like Sorkin?
Because on Friends, he was cock of the walk. Like he would suggest a joke and, you know, he was a god there. And he was almost like another writer on Friends.
Oh, so do you think he had good comedy chops? I know he's a good actor, but like, could he?
I think as Chandler, he's like, people say this all the time when someone passed away, but like iconic characters. And I'm not a deep Friends person. I know people have now binged it a ton and it's got this new life and new generations find it. It's like that and The Office seem to be these shows that are forever going to be around for people. I watched Friends like, I don't know, like a little bit in the first run. I was out of it by the last like four seasons. I've never circled back to it, but like Chandler was my favorite when I was a kid.
Yeah, me too.
Like
everyone
he was
wanted to be Chandler.
Charming and funny and whatever his essence was, that came through in the character. And, you know, also when you're younger, there's something funny about how like, you know, he's pretty sarcastic and, you know, like smart, you know what I mean? I guess in order to make those jokes and so you relate that character. But again, I haven't seen the show in so fucking long.
Well, he thinks he invented sarcasm. He actually does. If you read the book, he talks about how he invented this cadence.
Did you buy it?
No, of course. But by the end, you do really feel for him.
When did he start doing real like drugs a lot?
Well,
He says if you watch the seasons in Friends, he can tell you exactly what's going on with him. He's like, if I'm bloated, I'm drinking. That's a drinking season. Mm. If I'm really skinny, he's like, that's a pills season. I've read a quote where he basically says,
well, did you read the book?
Mike, please.
Question was for me. No, I'm joking.
You're the foremost Matthew Perry expert on the best.
Well, he asked when he started. Not what drugs he were on
my
which
bad.
Season.
But listen to the question, so he man.
I feel like this is like one of those like CNN panels where they bring in an expert and Shane is like the foremost Matthew Perry expert on the best thing.
Well, RIP. But speaking of sadness and things coming to an end, RIP to Dutch.
Oh, Dutchie man. Yeah. No, so we said goodbye to my cat, our cat, me and Danica's cat. Everybody says this about their pet that everybody has like, you know, it's like, oh, mine was so special. But this like guy really was special.
What's his
Dutchie.
Name?
Dutchie. Yeah. You just said his name.
I know. But to be honest, when I texted you condolences, I was like, did I get the name right? Because I was like,
we have two cats. Yeah, we have Dutchie and Raffy.
No, but I said, what did I say?
You got it right.
Did I? I said, but I think I called him Dutch Man.
You did, yeah, but we call him Dutch Man.
Okay, good. Because then I was like, okay, good. Okay, never mind. Thank you. I was really stressed out about that,
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like calling Mikey Veerman.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, so we got this cat originally because I was in the band San Sebastian. We were like touring a bunch, so I was gone a lot. And Dan and I were living at the Rosemont and we decided to get a cat. Cause I was always gone. And then she was home. So we get this cat. He came in as a little kitten and he was just the most like gentle, sweet cat. And some cats are like insane and they want to scratch you or they're like really needy. All this guy ever wanted to do basically from the time we got him till the time we said goodbye was cuddle. So he was just like such a cuddly, sweet cat. And you know, anyway, it was a great journey. But what was more sort of interesting was when it came time to say goodbye, is you're like, oh, like, cause he started to deteriorate and his eye was kind of going. And then there's all these vet visits and the whole industry around vet visits, by the way, don't get me started, or just like, insane how much money they make to sort of diagnose and maybe this and more of this. And before you know it, you're in for like thousands of dollars.
And but it always ends with them kind of euthanizing
always,
the animal.
Always.
Like we could do this pancreatic surgery and then they get the surgery and then they kill it the next day.
100%. Yeah. Or it's like you get two more weeks or whatever. And they know like, obviously whatever, this is the business of these things. And I don't want to, you know, question the integrity of the vets, but, it's a tough business. But so anyway, we, you know, Dan's like, I'm like, oh, like, you know, we were just very much like, is it time? Like, should we say goodbye? And that was just a really difficult conversation. Obviously, we have two small children, so explaining that sort of thing. And
how do they take it?
Pretty good. I mean, they're like, I would say Winona. I mean, Birdie's just blissfully ignorant of everything. But Winona was very like, they're not strangers to death, because obviously, like, both my parents are gone and Dan's mom has passed away. So Winona understands the concept very, like, she's like, it's not a new thing to her. And so she was like most little kids, like really sad, like, oh, I'm really sad about Dutchie. But then she's like, oh, squirrel, you know, like, you just move on. You just, like, you're in it and then you're out of it. Maybe that's how most people are when they grieve. But we decided when it was time that we were going to do it at home. So have you guys ever had to put a pet down at all?
No.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, one, I'd never really put a pet down. Like, we had a dog when I was young. And he went to a farm in Calgary, which is what my dad and mom told us, which I believed, honestly, until like a couple years later, I was watching TV with my brother and like thinking about Cairo, our family dog. And I was like, do you think he actually went to like a farm in Calgary? And Greg, without even looking at me, just went, nope. And I was like, oh, great. Fuck. I was like, man, they put down Cairo. And Greg's like young, cynical nature knew it from the start. But I was like, oh, I picture him running around on that fucking farm. But anyway,
nope.
Yeah. So, yeah. But anyway, so then it was time to put down Dutchie. We were like, okay, like, we can't fathom bringing him to some cold fucking clinic. And so Dan was like, we got to do it at home. I was like, absolutely, let's do it at home. So these two women came. And it was just like the saddest fucking thing I've ever been a part of, because you're like, you're with this little guy and he's so snuggly. And then they give him the thing that sort of sedates him. And then they euthanize him there in front of you. And you sort of, you're with them until his last breath.
With another shot.
Yeah. Another needle. Yeah. It's a shotgun. No. Avert your eyes.
Clear.
Set up the tarp. Yeah.
There's nine firing squads. So no one knows who has.
Why is there nine women walking up with rifles?
They can't know who shot it.
No. But, yeah. They only give one bullet out of the nine guns. So no one has to live with the guilt.
That's how they do it.
That's why it's so expensive.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so they put him down. Yeah, so then it was like, yeah, it was really, you know, it was a needle though, to answer your question. Okay. And so we're like holding him, and it was, you know, you look in his eyes, so you know he's looking at you as he sort of takes his last breaths in this earth, and he was gone. But it was like, and the girls were over at my sister-in-law's, like, so they don't need to be around for
that. Can you imagine?
Like,
yeah, that'd be weird. Yeah.
Yeah. So just like Danica, myself, and these two women that, you know, whatever.
Who did the cat make eye contact with on it?
So the way that Dutchie was laying, so I was with him when he was like, they're kind of starting the process. And then I was like, Dan, I want him to be looking. Cause it was like, she was bonded. I was bonded, but they were like every night together, you know? Mm. Yeah. So he was looking directly at Dan, and she was just petting his head as he sort of left this earth. But my God, the fucking tears. Like, it was just like, it's the most I like sort of cried in a long time. And I've lost two parents, but it was just, he's so sweet. And he was like, and I was talking to Shane about this, you know, at work. I came back and I was kind of like talking about, like, I don't know if I was like, cause I like, obviously, like, since we've had kids, I can't be with Dutchie as much. We're not cuddling as much. I don't know if I'm mourning like his absence, which is 100% a thing, or just what he represents, like these sort of, you know, these 13 years, this time that passes, like he was in my apartment, you know, when I was at a different stage in my life, and he's been there through all these things. And it's like, if he's gone, I don't know, it represents the passage of time or something, but anyway, it fucked me up for a while. But so he passes away and we're just like ruined, obviously. And then there's this sort of awkward moment where like, you need to like pay these people for their services. And I had never asked like the price point or whatever.
And so this is a bad time.
She hits me like, and I'm like, Dan's crying, and I go to pull out like my card and I'm like shaking because I'm fucking ruined. And I see the price and I started crying all over again.
They don't have a tip option.
It was a good service.
15%, 18%, 20%.
They're looking at you.
Actually, it was like 2022, 25.
Oh, I hate
that's
that.
The indignity.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Don't make me choose in this moment. But yeah, no, I paid. It was expensive. It was not cheap. It was like, I don't know, like over $1,000.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Like 1,100 or something like that. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I was bawling to say the least. anyway, so long story long, I ended up, you feel silly not coming into work to mourn the death of a pet. And I'm sure there's people that are listening to this that like, if you've lost a pet, you know how deeply it can affect you, but I've also lost humans. So it's like, what if my Oma passes away in the next, like, do then I take time off for that? And how much time do I take compared to the cat? I was having all these thoughts when I was thinking about coming into the office, but anyway, putting Dutchie down was pretty sudden. So like my shit was still here in the office. So I ended up coming back, I think two days later.
Did they take Dutchie? Or do you bury him in the backyard?
No, they take him and then we cremated him. So we have his ashes at the house now. And he used to hang out under this tree in front of the house. So we're going to spread some ashes there.
That's cool.
But anyway, I came back into the office to get my shit. And Shane was here. And he obviously knew. And anyone knew. I put on Instagram that we had to say goodbye to Dutch, who was such a big part of our lives. And so I was just sort of explaining these things, but within the first 48 hours. And I started fucking crying in the office.
Wow.
Which like never happens to me. Huh. So poor Shane has to sit there as I'm talking to him.
When your dad passed, did you cry in the office?
No. I took much more time though. When my dad passed, I was like, I didn't come back for like a few weeks, I don't think. Like Shane, I think we were directing something and then Shane just took it over. Mm-hmm. It was something with Mary Berg actually, I think maybe. But anyway, Shane just sort of took it over and I just was dealing with that. But yeah, I was back in the office and I was talking to Shane. I don't know. And I was trying to explain the situation and how I was feeling or whatever. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I couldn't get it out and I was crying. I was like, I get the fuck out of here. So I just packed up my computer and I boogied or whatever, but that's
it's tough to see you cry. Cause like you said, you don't really cry. So it was making me cry.
Yeah. So me and Shane were just kind of sitting there like crying at our desks at like 11 in the morning.
I think one of the most insensitive things I've ever done, I had an ex whose family had money and their dog was going through like a lot of like these surgeries that you're talking about. And I'm not a pet person. I've never had pets. And I don't totally get it, if I'm being honest, about like that.
Did you start in with the firing squad jokes?
Which was an all-timer, by the way.
No, but I just started kind of inquiring in a Larry David kind of way, being like, how much did that cost? How much is that surgery? How much is that surgery? And the number kept on getting higher and higher. And then she could just see the look on my face where I was like, because the look on my face was like, you got to be kidding me, right? Like $10,000, $20,000, like $30,000. Like really, like when is the number going to stop? How high could the number go? Just get rid of the thing. Like that's what my eyes were saying.
Yeah.
And she just looked at me. She's like, you're a fucking asshole. Like just stay the fuck out of it. I was like, fair enough. I apologize.
Noted.
Noted.
But this is how we learn. It's
but this is, yeah. But
Dave Foley quote about how you learn how not to get kicked out of the community.
Mm-hmm.
So now you don't do those things.
Yeah. Now. Yeah. I learned.
Did you write a song about that?
I did not.
I'm sorry about your doggy.
That was the original lyrics to Past Life. Yeah.
I'm sorry about your doggy. That was kind of the melody.
Sorry about your doggy. I didn't mean to hurt you.
Well, I have that song in my head now because Nathan posted that amazing video of you guys performing Past Life.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the best video, by the way.
Oh,
like
Nathan's the,
that
killing
Nathan
it.
Yeah. Took. Yeah. That performance and that video was so good.
Well, let's transition to Arkells.
Yeah.
Because you just wrapped up a big old tour.
Yeah, it feels good. It feels really good.
I saw a photo on Instagram today that I double tapped where it's like you had the whole crew, everything. Ash was right up front there in like a NASCAR coat.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of color.
But it was nice. It was a nice sort of like
really nice
representation of how many people it takes to pull off a tour the scale that obviously what you guys
this
do.
This American or Canadian?
So those are the Canadian crew. The American stuff was a little more scaled down. But amazing crew. But Nathan, who edits this podcast,
Nathan Nash.
Say enough good things about Nathan because obviously like he's newer to the crew than the OGs in this room, and he's so talented and he's so humble and there's no egos. You can kind of tell him anything and he's eager to learn. He's so eager to get better at different skills. And so he started just kind of being the photographer, but now he's like taking this amazing video and we're like, this, as you said, like the stuff, it looks like a concert film and he's shooting it. And then like Chris Kaplinski is our sound guy. And like, the mix sounds so good. Like every part of the operation is like so dialed in and I'm just like so proud of the team. And, it really goes to show because I was talking to somebody else about like workplace stuff and like you need talent for sure. But like, what do you think the percent? It's got to be like 70% good vibes or 60% good vibes.
Perseverance. And to work with Arkells though, you have to have like, like grit and
why do you say that?
Well, like, I worked with you. You're like a beast. Like the way you work is so crazy. Like, you had to get rid of your manager and find someone like Ash to be your
new manager.
Ash is like, one in a million type fine. Nathan's a one in a million. Mark Meyer's one in a million.
It's very true.
I'm more like standard issue, like human. So when I worked with you on the, what was that video? Got nominated for the Knocking at the Door. I was co-directing that with Mark. There'd be a phone call every day, like hour long meetings, little adjustments. I'm like, geez, I can't do this anymore. I talked to Mark afterwards. I was like,
when
I
you just, saw his name come up on your phone, would you get anxiety?
A little bit. It's just a lot. And Max is so proactive, and I like to chill a little more. And you know, and then you're talking to Mike D and this, and it's like, where do we do this? What if my shit did? What if we go film at the Sky Dome? And it's like, oh, we're filming with celebrities at the Sky Dome. That footage never gets used. It's like so much shit's going on. The edits is another note. Like, Mark, we're editing like it everywhere, like it, yeah. Like at all hours of the day, it just never ends. So yeah, to work with Arkells, you have to be a very, very special person, and I think you have like an awesome team.
It's fucking awesome. And we tried something different on this tour because I was like, I want to, because you know I'm all about a bit, you know, just the whole show is just one bit after the next. I was like, what if I gave my phone out to like the crowd? And the crowd took selfies and took like videos of their POV at the show.
Your real phone, or is this a stunt phone?
Well, I'll get there.
Okay.
So, because that was the idea, and I was talking to Ash about it. I was like, you know, something that kind of just like feels different, like, and it's sort of like a trust exercise. And then, you know, we pass the phone around like an entire arena. So, I'm like, okay, that's good. So then Ash goes on Facebook Marketplace and finds a phone for $300, like an iPhone 11, because we're like, do we want to spend $2,000 on a brand new iPhone that could be stolen within 20 minutes?
Depends on the market.
Yeah, right. We're like, we're confident about Guelph, not so sure about St. Catharines. Guelph has a low crime rate. St. Catharines a little higher. Peterborough's in the middle.
You sent her on the flip flown in Peterborough.
And so she finds a guy. We meet this kid who's like a TMU student. The Ryerson University. At Eden Center. And he must have Googled Ash, because as soon as I walked through the door, because I was like, Ash is security guard for this $300 cash drop off. He like sees me and kind of like smiles. He knows like what this is for, or he doesn't know what it's for, but he like knows that we're affiliated. So we pay him the $300. We got the phone. It works. We get this like iPhone case that looks like an old school camera case. So it kind of has like,
it's good. I saw it on Instagram.
Yeah. And, anyway, so we pass the thing around, and the first night it comes back. I said on them, like, just have it back at the sound booth by the end of the show. Just that's all we ask. And the first night was like pretty wholesome. The second night, this like 60-year-old lady flashed.
That didn't make 60? The edit?
It didn't make the edit.
What's Nathan Nash doing? No, I'm just kidding. That's hilarious. So you actually got a 60-year-old woman flashing.
Yeah. We got one of those. My favorite part, though, is Tegan from Tegan Sarah texted me the next day and was like, hey, was that your actual phone? So I love the idea that Tegan, who is one of the most savvy industry vets ever, like what did she wrote?
It's like a magician being like, hey, did you actually cut that girl in half?
Well, it's like seed of doubt, right? Like, because I thought there's no way in hell, but who knows? Maybe you do something where it is your actual phone.
Yeah. She was like, is it like your phone with your text messages and yours? Like, was that? I was like, no, of course not.
This is a $300 phone. Is that what you said you paid for it? Yeah. Off the guy at the Eaton Center, did you say? Mm-hmm. Look at that. You innovated a gimmick that cost you $300 and is already making ripples and being effective.
Yeah, we get to do one every night. It's a really good bit. And then also I kind of wonder, like, how can we refine it? Because basically I just told people, you know, just like, tell us like how many shows you've been to, like 10 shows, 5 shows, whatever, like do something. But I wonder if there's something a little bit more artful for the next time we do a show that we could ask people to, like something that feels a little bit more funny or synchronized. Or something like maybe everyone's like the same facial expression.
You could do a heartfelt thing where it's like ask the person you came with what they like best about you.
Mm. Oh yeah. But then finding.
Well, then you got to cut it. Then you actually got to go through and get the best moments.
If you're credit to Nathan Nash, Nathan had to cut that thing the next day. So basically Nathan's such a fucking beast and he never complains. Never once complains. Like I'm like, all right, Nathan, I've just air transfer you 400 videos. Find the most interesting ones and compile them all together into a 40-second thing. Within the first 20 seconds is me talking. Go.
Just give me PTSD right now, man.
Have it on my desk by 6 o'clock.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right, guys, the music video is done. Now we have to worry about the social media cut down.
We need every iteration, every size.
You know what, though? And this is also huge credit to Nathan, because it's not like Nathan very much is a family man, has a full time, like how he finds time to do everything that he does is a sort of a marvel either of his time management or the way that he's able to focus. But it's like, it ain't like he's just sort of like chilling in an apartment with
Nathan
endless hours to create
and
shit.
Mark Myers are the two guys. We always say this to them. And I'll tell you guys this now, cause you don't totally fall into this category. Most do not, mm-hmm. but they're the two dads that you forget are dads because they never seem to be bothered by our phone calls.
I've never been more insulted in my life.
How dare you say such a thing?
No, we'll call them at any hour of the day. We're like, you busy? You're like, nope. And then like we know they are. But Mark and Nathan, and then we're like, that's why we love you so much. It's like, that's why we can bully you around so much.
Well, and like, I'll just speak for myself. I think Mark's a better dad than me too. So it's like,
so he's getting more work
he's
done.
Doing everything.
He really has it all.
Nathan does fucking everything. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So we had a great time. You know, it's funny, like the band was in such good spirits. Everyone was like in a really like silly mood. Like Tim and Tony were like, just so happy.
So
that,
as far as band dynamics, Tim and Tone are like,
they spend the most time together.
They're tight.
Yeah.
And then you three, Mike, Nick, yourself, you went to university together, obviously. Yeah. Would you say your trio is as tight as the uni days?
No, I feel like everybody else sort of, there's different, you know, like it's no surprise if you see Mike and Tony hang out together or Nick and Tim, you know, like it kind of, there's, I don't think there's like a set.
You're
set
on group. A different plan.
I'm like usually busier and stressed. And that's self-inflicted. Mm-hmm. Like I don't need to be doing that thing, but I'm always like, you know, I do need to. Zach said something, our guitar tech, Zach Scorpion Robinson. I told you why he's called Scorpion, right?
No,
don't think so.
He wears a drive jacket?
No, he basically like we're when he started working this like maybe 2 years ago and his name was Scorpion. And then we just all called him Scorpion. I don't think we even knew his name was Zach for the first like year. Yeah. And then one day I was like, by the way, why is your name Scorpion? And he's a really mild mannered, sweet guy from like Woodstock, Ontario, London, Ontario. And like just as sort of low key as it comes, like the last guy you'd be call Scorpion. And he goes, yeah, you know, I was trying to get a job with you guys for like a long time. And then our mutual friend Jordan, who also works with us, he told me that you guys are looking for someone really experienced, like a real road dog. So he just suggested give yourself a road dog name. So then I reapplied and I just said my name was Scorpion. And I got the job.
That is incredible.
Because they all, because you know, it's like,
These lifers that like work with tours and stuff like that would be someone named Scorpion. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, I was like, that is the best story.
Did you hire Amash? Did you see his
name?
No,
it would have been Eric Martin, our tour manager. And maybe it's just a coincidence, but I like that story. Actually, Chris Martin tells a funny story about that. I think on Conan or Dax, Chris Martin from Coldplay, where basically his dad likes to come hang out on tours and. He, you know, all the texts with Coldplay have names like Scorpion or Bear or, you know,
Nicknames.
Noodles or whatever. Yeah. And he's and he's talking and he just like making conversation with like the crew. So he's like backstage hanging out, talking to people, and he meets a guy named Woody, and he's like, "Oh, Woody, okay, great, good to meet you. This is Chris Martin's dad." He's like, "Oh, what do you do, Woody?" And this is Woody Harrelson, which is great. Mike D's, we played in Guelph, the hometown of Mike D'Angelis, and we had dinner at his parents' house. His dad made like a 5-course Italian meal with the prosciutto that he made himself, the wine he made himself, pasta that he made himself.
Was it any good?
Amazing. 10 out of 10.
This is the D'Angelis family home. Is this where Mike like grew up?
Oh yeah. It was a classic.
Did you guys
Italian
check
home
out like his childhood bedroom?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Is it lots all of just photos still like race car posters and stuff?
Yeah. It was a little single bed. It's just cute. Yeah. Lots of cute little Mike D.
Did picks. Nick eat the meal?
No, Nick and Tony had stuff to do at soundcheck, so they couldn't actually come. But yeah, Nick, why were you?
Because well, you know why?
Because that picture that I, that video that I posted of Nick,
the video, the sneakiest shot of Nick for like I guess half a second.
Yeah,
shirtless, ripped like an underwear model.
I know.
You guys have been doing that with Nick for years, didn't you? Put him in pulling punches with his shirt off.
Yeah, yeah.
But this seems next level. What's he doing?
I don't know. Both Tim and Nick are so fit right now. We're aging pretty good, I gotta say. For a band that's been at it for as long as we have, like our band looks pretty good. I don't think our band's ever looked better.
Yeah, Tim was ripping his shirt off too, running around it.
Yeah, he looked good. Tim is ripped.
I like that we're just praising like Tim and Nick and how ripped and good they look. And Max is like, yeah, we're looking pretty good.
What is that?
Oh, this is cute. Ash is showing us a photo of is this the mantle, like the fireplace at Mike's place? Oh my goodness.
I thought that was Tom cute. Brady for a second. That guy, is that?
There's young Mike. Yeah.
That's Mike's brother. Doesn't he look like Tom Brady? Or
he does. Yeah. Good looking boys. D'Angelis is.
So now we don't have any shows for a bit, which is nice. You know, when you see bands like doing like final show ever tours, I wonder if we're ever going to dip into that culture. Probably not. It seems not like us. Mm-hmm. But you know when you see like
retirement tours,
yeah, like Jay-Z done a bunch. Fire, yeah. Like said they're like breaking up, and then they did like comeback shows, and then now
they
just
really did
tour.
Break up.
Did they?
Aren't they touring right now?
I feel like I'm not saying festivals. They're not back together, right. But I mean, Dallas had this whole solo career.
Yeah, I guess there's no real rules on stuff. Like Sum 41 just announced their final tour.
Not all four of them. Like the drummer, Steve-O, he's a real estate agent.
No, he left the band a long time ago.
Yeah.
But I'm saying the Sum 41, who have been touring pretty consistently for the last few years, have said, this is our final tour. Our final show is like for 35,000 people in France. Like we're going out on a bang. But like, they're definitely going to do another show in about 4 years from
now. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like Alexa on Fire, it's like, I think it's just.
It's an exercise in marketing that will drum up interest, but the cost, sort of like the pro con or the risk reward, is do you alienate fans by sort of if you do go out, or are they just so happy to see you in 3 years from now?
I think they're so happy to see you in 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I think you just have to commit to being away for.
Yeah. How
four
long
to
is
six
a tasteful
years?
Amount? For, like say you're like, this is the final one. And then next year you announce shows. That's too soon.
Yeah. That's too soon. 2 years, 3 years. Too
you
soon.
Could never take that time off though. I feel
I don't think we could do
and
it.
And people look at you as the new Tragically Hip kind of, and everyone knows how they went like their whole lives being a band.
Yeah.
I feel like that's your destiny.
Yeah, just keep at it. Yeah, that's more interesting to me. But I also get it why people looks well on a marketing level.
Well, I'm fascinated just your mindset. Like now that this run of shows is done and you've got some downtime, like you said, like do you like downtime? Do you want to be back on the road?
Oh, you know, I got lots of ideas.
I know, but like, would you like to be playing like 200 dates a year?
No, I think we tour just enough. Right. Yeah, and I'm happy with the amount that
now
we tour.
Now it's time to focus on TikTok.
Yeah, now we just got to make a lot of TikTok.
TikTok season.
Seriously, just nothing but TikToks all day long.
Well, we got time to hang out.
Now we can get
things.
This pod out more regularly.
Yes.
We can do it in person.
Yes.
We'll be locked in. I'm very excited
about
that.
Yeah, we'll get this thing moving.
Get some TV stuff going.
Oh, yeah. Lots of exciting TV stuff is coming up, which is great, which we'll be able to talk about more in depth soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's lots of stuff going on over the next couple months.
But the big cliffhanger from last episode.
Yes.
All right. Yes.
Let's end on this. How
it
is your
time to get
to
the exciting trip?
So yeah, I had a 7-day family vacation, yada yada. But then at the end of the family vacation, I was going to New York City without the children to potentially hang out with Nicole Kidman at this Omega party. Now people know what Omega is. Good for them, but I do not. It was they're kind of like Rolexes, like at that level.
Is Adam Driver in one of the commercials, or is that another?
He might
watch,
be a Rolex guy. No, he probably is. George Clooney's their big representative. Zoe Kravitz, Nicole Kidman. It's basically Nicole and George are the big ones. So if people didn't listen to the last episode, we got an invite to this Omega party. I was suspicious whether we actually got the invite or not, or if it was sent accidentally. And I'll be honest here, but the invite didn't say Alexandra Cunningham. It said Alexandra Cunningham Cameron. But I had a little seed of doubt. I'm like, maybe they made a mistake and the Cameron is
someone
like
else's name.
It's the beginning of someone else's name and they screwed up. The
Tyler Cameron.
Cameron Crowe is also invited.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm like, I look up Alexandra Cunningham Cameron. And sure enough, it is a big art curator in New York.
Someone who might be invited to an event like this.
Someone who definitely would be invited to an event like this. Cause I YouTubed all the events and, you know, I was very confident that we were not actually invited. So I'm nervous. I don't want to take a New York trip if we're not actually invited. So I start emailing the people at Omega. They don't respond. I don't get a response. I call a bunch of Omega places. They don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Just retail stores in the mall.
Yes, I'm calling retail stores. And like, I called Switzerland. I actually called Switzerland, talked to somebody. They didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. I'm like, I'll just call New York. I called New York Omega. I'm like, hello. I'm assuming you'll be providing the watches for the Planet Omega opening in New York City. They're like, yeah. How do you know that event's going on? He's like, you find this online? I go, no, it was sent to my my client. Like, who's that? I'm like, Alexandra Cunningham. They go, yeah. I go, is there plus ones available? It was like, what's your phone number? And I give them my phone number, which I probably shouldn't have done because it feels like the jig is up to some extent. I give him my phone number and he goes, I'll let you know. And he hangs up. Never hear back. So I talk to Alex. I go, we might not get into this, but this is just an excuse to go to New York City without the kids. Let's ask your parents if they're willing to babysit while we do this. We tell Alex's parents, my in-laws, they go, you have to do this. They love Nicole Kidman. They want to see if we're going to sneak into this event. So anyway, this is on the tail end of my family vacation. Family vacation's done. We get in at midnight from Florida, drop the kids off at our home in Hamilton, sleep for 3.5 hours, wake up, take an Uber back to the airport. We packed all of our fancy clothes, everything that we need to get into this event because it's cocktail attire. Get to the airport. There's a lockdown at Pearson. There's been a terrorist threat or something. And the SWAT team's coming through and all the airline attendants are, you know, waiting out. The pilots are waiting out. There's going to be an indefinite hiatus. So, of course, our flight gets canceled. We have to switch airports instead of Newark. We're going to LaGuardia. Of course, our luggage gets lost. So when we show up in New York, we show up 2 hours before the party's to begin. I had to cancel my hair appointment. I was supposed to get a haircut in New York. I wanted to look good.
Mohawk.
Yeah.
We buy
a bunch of shit from Zara. Apparently the airline's going to recoup our expenses up to $150. Anyway.
Wait a second. So your shit never got found?
Never got found.
Whoa.
So I'm like freaking out. I have to buy all this like, you know, weird.
Some guy walking around in a Rodman shirt.
No. We got it back on the very last day. It did get sent to us. We were 2 days without our luggage, but all my hair shit, I had to buy like got to be stuff because you know, that's what everyone does and they lose their hair product. But this got to be stuff actually made my hair look really good somehow.
I've used it before.
Yeah, but you have like thicker hair. I have like fine hair, so it's not like cool like yours. Right. And but I got volumizing got to be stuff. And I'm like, oh my God.
In such a specific way.
I actually looked good in my Zara outfit. Alex looks amazing. We Uber over. And Alex is really nervous on the Uber to the Omega party, which is at this place called Chelsea Factory. It's a big
thing. The nervousness is just the idea that you guys are kind of getting away with something, or you don't know if you're going to get turned away at the door.
Alex actually had a nervousness that maybe we actually were invited. And she's like, this is, might be like an influencer party, which is not cool. It's right. Way cooler for not invited. So I'm like, Alex, just let you know.
Yeah, what's that old line?
This like, might be,
I never want to be part of a club. I'd be invited.
Famous Woody Allen quote.
Groucho.
But, oh, is that Groucho?
That's Groucho Marx, yeah.
That's not Woody Allen? Oh, Woody Allen was quoting Groucho.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm like, on the, I'm like, Alex, we might have been invited to this, and I don't want you to be disappointed if we show up and it turns out we're actually invited and there's all these influencers and this is like a very uncool party. She's like, I know. So we pull up to the lineup. It's all 60-year-old looking billionaire types and 20-something model types. And then I get nervous because I'm like, holy shit, we weren't invited to this for sure. Like no one looks like they have their phone out and like, oh my God, we're here. And there we get in the line and they're like, there's women with like big iPads who are taking names down and there's massive security guards making sure no one sneaks in. She's like, what's your name? To Alex. And she's like, Alexandra Cunningham. She beep, boop, boop, types it in. She's like, okay. And she goes, and you? I'm like, I'm with her. I'm her plus one. She's like, yeah, what's your name though? And I'm like, Shane Cunningham. And then she go beep, boop, boop. And it's fine. And we're in the lineup. It seems like everything's okay. We keep walking. We get through the massive security guards. And then there's this woman greeting everyone, shaking everyone's hands as they walk in. It's like, oh, Timothy, you made it. Get over here. Talking to every single person. And we're coming up. So I don't know what to do. So I pretend someone's behind the woman. I'm like, oh, hey. And I start like waving at the person behind. And I rush Alex through. And the woman's like, who the fuck are they? But she doesn't care because it looks like we matter. And then there's this, as soon as we walk in, there's this like, I don't know, 20-foot gold statue of like a spaceman.
Okay.
There that they built, it says Omega on it, looks pretty cool and fancy. And then there's like this house of mirrors you walk through that has like Omega watch that Elvis wore, and then JFK wearing the watch, and this huge display. And then you go through it, and then there's like a DJ who kind of looks like Danny Masterson, like just
weird reference.
Yeah, okay, he looked like Danny Masterson though. Do I not use the reference and lie? But okay, so he we cannot use it.
People are allowed to look like Eddie Boy. He's not Danny Masterson. Then
another guy looks exactly like Bill Cosby. He's
there. He was serving drinks.
And Woody Allen's there. No. But so I'm like, okay, this is a cool party. People walking around with champagne. All of a sudden, I see Tyler Cameron, who is Gigi Hadid's ex-boyfriend, also
from The Bachelor.
Bachelor fame. He's probably the most famous person ever to come out of The Bachelor.
Do you like Tyler? Are you a Tyler fan?
Love Tyler. Do you know who that is?
I don't.
So he's huge. So I'm like, okay, we're in the section with legitimate people. Ralph Macchio's there.
I know Ralph Macchio.
Bunch of models. Like, you can just tell. Like, you know, some people are good looking, but you're like, oh, that's just a really good looking person. A model, it's unquestionable. It's like, that's definitely a model. That's a model, whatever. All of a sudden, place gets packed. Fills
Alex
up.
Getting jealous?
No, because a lot of guys are looking at Alex. Ah, and she's like, that guy gave me the eyes. Tyler Cameron just gave me the eyes. She's like, that guy wants me. Everything's that guy wants me. But I'm looking around, and sometimes the girls are giving me the eyes. And I'm like, this got to be stuff is pretty good. And I'm like, Alex, I hate to break it to you, but that girl's giving me the eyes. And she's with like this unbelievably handsome person. I go, look, she's giving me the eyes. I look behind me, and it's the model from the Blank Space video. Yeah. So he was standing directly behind me, and I thought I was getting lucky.
She was looking past you.
She was looking above me and past me.
Yeah.
But this guy's really cool too. You know who I mean? The Taylor Swift Blank Space video.
I picture him,
the main model. I thought that was very cool to be in the same room as him. We're getting free drinks. Then Nicole Kidman comes up, gives this kind of awkward speech, but she's comfortable being awkward. And then she's like, okay, now it's time for me to go out and mingle.
Wait, were people doing photos with Nicole, or would it have been weird of you to do a photo with Nicole, like to ask for a photo in that environment?
Everyone was asking for a photo with
Nicole. Oh, so everyone was getting photos with
everyone her. Everyone kind of knew her. There was like the guy from Vampire Diaries had his like arm around her.
Right.
Everyone kind of knew Nicole, and Nicole was acting like she kind of knew everyone. People were like, Nicole. She's like, nice to meet you. And the people would be like, we met last week at this party. She's like, oh, yes, right. So it was that vibe.
Oh,
and
I know that move.
Alex is looking at her like, and then Nicole looks at Alex, doesn't come over. Alex is too embarrassed to say, can I have a photo? So anyway, we never got a photo with Nicole. We end up just people watching, seeing which models are going home with whom.
Any gossip for us?
Oh, there's this one guy. He was really handsome. He's like 6'4". He looked like the guy from Stranger Things. You know that guy, Rob Lowe looking guy who was popular in the second season of Stranger Things?
Totally.
Might have been him. I don't think it was. And then he was playing this cat and mouse game with this really actressy looking woman. So I was following that storyline all night. So at the end of the night, she acted like she wasn't going to go home with him. She acted like she was going to get a cab. And then he was acting like he didn't care. But then she was acting like she couldn't find a cab. And then he got a car. And then she hopped in and went home with that guy.
Wow.
So that was a fun storyline.
That's cool. So you guys didn't talk to anybody. You needed me there.
Alex talked to everybody. Okay, good. I didn't talk to anyone.
You didn't talk to Nicole, though.
No, I did not talk to Nicole. But I was definitely listening to everything she said, watching every interaction.
Right behind her, following her from person to person. And
Alex was like the guy who owns Omega loved Alex. So he got a million selfies with her. He's like, one more selfie. He's like this really handsome 70 something year old man. And he, you know, he definitely was making the eyes at Alex.
Have you ever seen the movie Indecent Proposal?
Yes.
If Omega Man, as we'll call him, pulled a Robert Redford-esque Indecent Proposal, would you guys decline?
Yeah, great question.
Is it just for one night?
There's one night, $1 million.
But do they have to have sex?
Whatever.
What do you mean whatever? Like if she doesn't want to.
No,
I think the implication, part of the agreement is sex.
The implication is that the Demi Moore character will have sex and they agree because it's $1 million in like 95. So for inflation, it'd have to be what, like 10 million now or something like that?
Five mil.
And basically Woody Harrelson and Demi Moore, this really strong couple are like we have to do it. And then so she does it, but then it tears them apart. Like Woody can't handle it. And also Demi Moore kind of starts to like the Robert Redford character because he's suave and he has dough and, you know, he's got this whole lifestyle.
Yeah.
It basically ruins them. But what ruins them really is Demi Moore's like, no, like I'm here with you. We got the money. We did it. Mm-hmm. We got it from the guy. But Woody Harrelson can't shake his feeling that it's like, no, it's like you were just still thinking about him and he couldn't get over it.
5 million, definitely. 100,000, probably. 50. There's a big conversation. You know, would you do it? 5 mil? You have to.
You have to.
Like, if someone wants to sleep with me and Danica has to go with that.
Your wife, your loving wife.
Fuck, man. I think I could get over it. Well, fuck, $5 million. Like,
I just feel like it'd be quiet in the cab and then you'd be like, you didn't take the 5 million. You didn't take it. Like, I feel like you'd
Here's
be mad.
Here's why it ruins people, because then all you do, if you ever have any sort of financial hardship down the road, you always think about, it's like if you pass on the opportunity, you're always going to think about, oh, that money would be nice now.
If we ever start interviewing people again, that should just be the last question of everything.
Robert Redford, it's different because he was so attractive.
Yes.
Where Omega Man was attractive, but he's still in his 70s. If it was Tyler Cameron, it would be different. It'd be like, you're thinking about him, aren't you?
Right. Mm-hmm. So that would sway your choice.
The old guy just makes it easier.
Yeah.
Tyler Cameron could be still dead any minute.
Yeah. You know,
like, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. So
I wouldn't, to answer your question, I wouldn't be the guy that stopped the event from happening. I'd be like, if you want to do it, let's keep it moving.
It's almost like for no money too. It's just like, sleep with them. Let's see what would happen. Like maybe some, maybe some opportunities get out. Cause I honestly, stay on that mailing list would be like, they throw these awesome parties in like Shanghai everywhere. It would just be cool to be connected. Cause sometimes a connection is worth more. But anyway, the story doesn't end there really. So the party is whatever. So the party ends at like 10:30. We've gotten all these free drinks. Then we go out to this Chelsea hotel. We have a burger and then we get in a cab to go back to our place, which we stayed at this amazing place. It's called Sonder. It was like two stories. Fuck, stop calling me.
We got the Omega Man. Have you made a decision yet, Shane?
But we take a cab. Alex, second we get in the cab, Alex realizes she loses her wallet. I go, okay, I got to go back into Chelsea. I do take a little bit longer. I get lost in the hotel a little bit. I realize I'm being annoyingly long. Get back in the cab. Cab driver starts moving. I realize, even as lost as I am in this world, I'm like, we're going the wrong direction. It seems like we're going like Brooklyn way. We're supposed to go that. I double check the address with Alex.
Mm.
I go, Alex, did you give him the right address? She goes, oh, no, it's this address. And then I go, okay, cab driver, can you please go the right direction now? He goes, we're going where the lady said. So I go, Alex, can you tell him the address? She goes, yeah, here's the new address. Like, I gave you the wrong address. He goes, no, we're going to go where the lady said. We're going to go. I go, what are you doing? He goes, we're going where the lady said. And he just keeps going. I go, can you stop the car? He's like, no. I go, so this is like a hostage situation? And he's like, I'm just going where the lady said. So he's mad at me is what I deduce for wasting time in the Chelsea looking for the watch while he could have been getting other customers. And his punishment is to take us more than an hour out of our way. So I call the cops. I go, hi, I've got a hostage situation. I'm in a cab. He will not let us out. He stops the car because he's kind of scared. The car stops and we bolt. We run out. And I'm just thinking, okay, that's it. We don't have to pay the fare. He's not going to come chasing us. So we run to a bar and just kind of hide out. Like, we need a drink. We need a drink. Like, play it cool. But of course, the bar's empty. So we're like the only people in. Cab driver leaves his cab and chases us and goes into the bar. So he comes in there. He calls the cops on us. I'm like, what the hell? And the cab driver's like, you cannot serve these people. They abandoned the fare. These are criminals. He's pointing at us. We look great. Like, we just came in there. I'm like, who are you going to believe here? So the bartender's like, I'm serving the lady. Like, she, and Alex is so upset. She's like shaking and crying and everything. And then,
oh my God.
So we're getting drinks and teas and stuff. And the police come. This guy's like 24-year-old, like, police officer, little guy, and then he's with like a woman, and I'm like, this guy held us hostage and now he's calling the cops. And they go, he called the cops on you. I go, yeah, I called the cops first though. I go, that's why he stopped and let us out. And they go, it's not a hostage situation, you're out of the cab. I go, it was a hostage situation. I go, do you have a camera in your car? He's like, yeah. I go, pull up the footage. I go, let's watch and pull up the footage. And New York deals with so many crimes like constantly. They don't give a shit at all about this little crime. They're like, no, just pay the fare. The guy's like, I'm 24 years old. I'm way more mature than you, sir. Sir, you got to be more mature than this.
To you?
I'm like, I was in a hostage situation. He's like, just pay. Let's go to the fare and pay. I go, is it? So if I don't pay, I'm going to be arrested? They go, yep. I go, what about the hostage situation? He goes, you can do that report after you pay. I go, okay, I'm doing it tomorrow morning, buddy. You better have that footage ready. And I take a picture of his thing and all that. And the guy's just laughing at me, the cab driver, because he knows he's going to delete that footage. And then I go to pay.
How much was it?
$10. I was in a hostage situation. What if it matters more? So what if he was harassing my wife? I still have to pay the fare. It's like, you can do any crime. Is being a hostage less important than? Like, that was a scary situation. When I was telling the story,
you could have just remedied the situation by like, here's your $10 as soon as you asked for the $10.
We had to bail because he only stopped because I was on the line with the police. It's not like when we stopped, he's like, pay up. He was just like, oh, you're calling the cops. I have to stop. And we bailed. We didn't know what he was going to do. So anyway, when I go to pay, he goes, it's $80 now. You've wasted my time. And the cops are like, you're the most immature two people I've ever met in my life. He goes, he's not giving you $80. It was a $10 fare. You did this. This is ridiculous. We got stuff to do. I'm going to take you both into the precinct or whatever it's called. And anyway, I paid the $10 and I'm like, I paid the $10, but I'm not tipping because I hit zero on tip. I go, because I couldn't figure out how to not tip. I go, show me how not to tip. Show me how to give you zero. And he shows me, I give him zero. And then I'm like, tomorrow morning, expect a call from me. And then, of course, I woke up and didn't call.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So it was kind of a fun, wild New York experience.
Yeah.
Like, it added to it. And the cop said, only take Ubers in New York if you're not from here. Mm-hmm. Which I thought you could trust a New York cabbie. I don't know why. I just thought cabbie's the culture. Like, Ubers might screw you around. But, yeah, so that's apparently it's very common to get fucked around by a New York City cab driver.
Damn.
There's some life advice for any listeners that might be going to NYC. Always take an Uber if you're not from New York.
Yeah, mission accomplished. Fun New York City trip.
All right, that's it. That's all. That's our episode. Thank you so much, Nathan Ash. Thank you so much to Manager Ash. And thank you to all the listeners that keep putting us on and listening all the time. All right, it's been a great hang. Maybe the best.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.